May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. 399.
Thank you.
Let us read from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, of which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house for ever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice, nor offering, for ever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. So the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, by the word of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we do need thee now to rend the heavens and to come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy sweet and sacred presence. O Lord, as thou hast spared us once more to gather, We do pray that thou wilt grant the divine influence and help of the Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth this night, and in the beauty of holiness. Lord, who remove from us all distracting thoughts and cares, dear Lord, and lift us above the many things that have occupied each of our minds in the past hours of the day. And oh, may it please thee to favour us to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts and too within these walls, that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. No, we would come with the desire of those Greeks, Lord, that we thought upon last evening, when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, we pray thou would hear the prayer in our opening hymn. Thou would reveal thyself to us each as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. May we know more and more, Lord, of thy sweet communion with thee, fellowship with thee in thy sufferings. May our precious Jesus be made very precious to us each, and the one thing that is needful. And O Lord, as we come before thee, we would come confessing our many, many sins. Lord, we've nothing else to bring. One said, nothing but sin I thee can give. And oh, we pray that we may know what the dear poet said, nothing but love shall I receive. And oh, Lord, as we look back, we stand amazed at thy goodness, thy mercy, thy favour toward us, unworthy as we are. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant to us grace to confess our many sins before thee, to beg and plead for mercy. Oh, may we ever be as real repenting sinners, dear Lord, at thy dear feet. True penitent sinners, weeping and mourning over our sin, and after thee. Oh, we pray thou wilt wash us in that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus, that blood that doth for sin atone, that blood that cleanseth the blackest and vilest of sinners of all sin. And oh, do favour us, Lord, with the sweet peace of Calvary in our souls, that we may prove what the dear hymn writer said, when thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man thy peace shall be. And oh, may that sweet peace that flows, Lord, through thy precious blood flow into our souls. We do seek for grace that we might endure to the end. We may hold on our way. May grace abound in us, dear Lord. We know so much of the aboundings of sin and of our deceitful heart and the world creeping in. But oh, may grace abound over it all. May our hearts be truly softened, Lord, and melted, and we be made tender in the fear of God. We pray to have that real religion that thou dost give to thy dear children, to be quickened by thy Spirit, to live a life of prayer and faith. O Lord, may it please thee to speak to our souls this night. Thou knowest those who have come up longing, like Samuel did. Speak, for thy servant heareth. We pray that there may be those to hear thy voice, the voice, as the spouse said, of her beloved. And oh, may thy word be applied to our souls. It may be a living word, a life in it to our souls, Lord, and that we may be lively characters, living characters, living children of God. And oh, may it please thee to cast out all the buyers and sellers there are within us, and that we may live to thee and to thy honour, to thy glory. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt keep us from ourselves, keep us from this world, and do keep us from sinning, Lord, and keep us from grieving thee. And Lord, do keep us in our thoughts, dear Lord, and in our hearts, in our walk, in our lives, in our conversation. Oh, may we be kept, as dear Peter said, by the power of God. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt suit thyself this night to every sinner's case. May the need of the needy be supplied. Thou knowest, Lord, how many feel their need of thee. And we beg that thou wilt supply that need. And those, Lord, that feel to be at the ends of the earth, oh, do give them that faith to look to thy holy temple. And oh, may it please thee to give us that eye of faith to keep a precious Christ in view in all we say and all we do. And oh, Lord, we would pray earnestly for those that are in trial and temptation, thou would appear for them and cast the adversary out, Lord, and deliver thy people. May those in bondage be loosed and let go. And may those, Lord, that truly love thee and adore thee, be enabled to follow thee in thy sweet ordinances and commandments. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, do lay that exercise deep in the hearts of many, Lord, we pray. And as thou hast constrained those dear godly women of late, Lord, ladies of late, we pray that thou wilt constrain others. And may there be those dear men constrained to, that they may show the world whom they love and whom they serve. And may all the hindrances be removed. And may there be those, as the dear hymn writer was, to be able to say, "Hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you." May it be so here, Lord, and in our own flock and throughout Zion. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst send healing to those in affliction, restoring mercies if it would please them. And oh, do sanctify these afflictions and sanctify all the troubles, Lord, of thy people, that they may be for their souls good and teaching, and for thy eternal praise. Now do remember, Lord, those that fear many things and have many fears in their hearts. We pray that thou wilt come and speak a fear not to them, and remove all the fears they have. Calm each troubled breast, we pray. Who help the deacons and bless them and bless the hymns they give out. Grant them all needed guidance and wisdom in all things. Do remember the dear children, the dear young people. May they in early days be brought to seek thee and have the religion thou didst give to Samuel. We pray that thou wilt work in each one of them, Lord, from the youngest to the eldest. And may they be taught of thee and hunger and thirst for thee and for thy word, and be raised up to be pillars in thy house in their day and generation. Hear the prayers of dear parents for them. Send down those answers of peace. And remember, Lord, our dear aged friends, many throughout Zion are in great advanced age, Lord, and we pray that thou wilt sweetly assure them, that thou wilt help them hitherto, will help them all their journey through, and will crown their journey's end. Lord, the power's thine, and may we each be prepared for that great day. And oh, do assure us that it is well with us, while life endure, and well when called to die. Who cast Satan out, Lord, thou knowest how real the foe is, and how many know his bitter onslaughts. But oh, we pray that thou would so appear and put Satan, as thou hast promised, the Lord will put Satan under your feet shortly. Oh, may it be so. Who bless the church here and increase them in numbers further, if it's thy will. We would praise and bless thee for what thou hast done. And we do pray thou wilt bring in from the village those that shall fear thy holy name. And in this area, Lord, may there be an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And may it be so throughout Zion. And oh, may it please thee to help thy dear servants and grant them gracious liberty in the preaching of the word. May they be instant in season, out of season. And Lord, do appear in the nation, we beseech thee. And knowest the troubles there are at this present time. Thy judgments are abroad in the earth. Lord, there is the coronavirus that is spreading from one place to another. We beg of thee to speak through this and to bring many, Lord, to fear thy holy name and to acknowledge the Lord God of Israel reigneth, and that all events are at thy command, and not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Remember, Lord, those in the flood areas, and we pray thou wilt speak through these things. For thou hast said, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. And all we do pray, dear Lord, for our Prime Minister and those in government, they may seek thy face in all the affairs of this nation and regarding leaving the European Union. And may they not be left, Lord, to deviate or turn from what is right, but to stand firm on the truth. Do remember our Queen and the royal family. May they be taught of thee and set a right example in this nation. Now, Lord, we would not multiply words, but we would seek for a heart to praise and bless thy holy name for all thy goodness and mercy to us. Unworthy as we are, we seek for a heart to love and praise thee more and crown thee Lord of all. Who anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. And oh, we pray that thy word may have free course and be glorified, and that there may be that real fruit to follow. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail, as we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 979. Jesus, those happy souls does bless, who hunger for his righteousness, who seek the smilings of his face, and thirst for fresh supplies of grace. 979.
Thank you. seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, and the 19th verse. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3, and verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3, and verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. What a wonderful mercy, beloved friends, it was that Samuel was the subject of many prayers before he was even born or conceived in the womb. We think, and you can read it in the first chapter, how wonderfully Hannah was blessed in conceiving him and to bring him forth. Secondly, we find that dear Samuel was, as we've read in this lesson this evening, to hear the Lord's voice while in early days. And I often think of that beautiful word in the book of the Ecclesiastes where the Holy Spirit records that it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And you look how wonderfully the Lord brought Samuel to hear the Lord's voice while in his early days. And it's something we need to praise the Lord if the Lord has granted us it. But we have in our text here some very precious words, really, which the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning Samuel. And there are three vital things. The first was that he grew, and Samuel grew. The second is, and the Lord was with him. And the third, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Well, as help this evening, may the Lord help us to look a little into it. Firstly, the child Samuel grew. He could only grow because he'd been given life. You think how those of you with children, and us with children and great-grandchildren, we rejoice when we see them grow, don't we? In a natural way. You think when a little baby is born, how wonderful it is to see them grow. But so it was with Samuel. But we want to look at it not just in a natural way, but spiritually. You and I can never grow in grace or in the things of God unless we got life. You see, that little babe, looking at it naturally, can only grow because the Lord has given it life. If it is so on sad occasions where there are those that are born dead, they never grow, do they? And what a wonderful mercy it is when there is life given in our souls, because then there's the prospect of growth. Not that we can cause ourselves to grow, or any man can, when it comes to the vital things of God. As the Lord gives life in our souls, so there will be a growing. And there are a few things that we would name that will cause the sinner to grow. Firstly, the Lord will feed them. Just as the little babe is fed. And what will they feed on? Well, they can't feed on the husk that the swine do eat, the things of this world, can they? They feed upon the precious word of God, his truth. It's food and nourishment to the living child of God. When was the last time you had a little feeding time? Maybe as you've read the word of God, or maybe as it is being preached. And it's food to your hungry soul. You may say, well, I hope I fed a little here and there upon God's word. It's a sign of life, you see. There's a hunger for the truth. We're told, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord has promised to fill the hungry with living bread. It's a sign of life. But too, there will be a real growing as the Lord is pleased to bring you into times of trial and affliction and difficulties in the journey. What was it that made those old divines in the Old Testament so real in the things of God? Look at what they had to walk through. And what did it do? It caused them to lean hard upon the Lord, dependent upon him. And if you're to grow, poor soul and me, we must be totally and utterly dependent upon the Lord, because in him is everything you need. You can suck everything in your poor soul from him that you need. We read, don't we, in the hymn, in him, precious Jesus, a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. And the poor sinner that's to grow in grace will draw from that fullness there is in him. They can't draw it from themselves, can they? They can't draw it from the world or the things of time. They want heavenly blessings, heavenly tokens. And why I say walking through these trials, and it's to establish the soul, you see, in the truth, to make them steadfast. You know, many of our godly forefathers had little of the things of time and of this earth, but they were well grounded in the truth. The Lord burnt his word in their hearts. He weaned them of this earth. It was not their home. They wanted real things, and they were brought through many severe trials, many oppositions from Satan and from men. And what did it do? It was to bring them to root deeper and deeper in Christ, that they might be steadfast and unmovable. And Samuel grew. Be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? One felt it when the text came personally. If there's a little growing season. You know, with a child, they have times where they have a growth spurt. And like in nature, you will find it in plants and trees. Suddenly they grow. And that's a wonderful thing to watch it and to see it. But think about it spiritually. I look sometimes, and over the years as a pastor for many years now, of course, but I've looked at some of the young ones, you know, over the years, and things the Lord has brought them into in trials, in providence. Many bitter temptations in their souls. We wouldn't pray for them to come into trouble or come into distress or come into difficulties. But it's all, you see, to make them sick of self, that they may be fond of Him. And then you'll see the sinner grow. They grow in grace. I love that word. That you might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And that's one desire is fervently within one's poor heart. We might experience it more and more personally. And we long for it for you each. And in the dear young people, I think of them at home. Oh, that the Lord would cause them to grow in grace. Because if they got life in their souls, the day I come where there will be this growth, you see. And they grow to love the Lord more and to esteem Him more and more. And their love is precious truth and love His voice and love His word. You read through the Song of Solomon. How the Lord Jesus was so precious to the spouse there. The one thing that was needful. She knew what it was, but she didn't have an easy path, you know. There were times where the Lord withdrew Himself. You know, often when He withdraws Himself from us and we're walking in the darkness and we're walking alone and we feel in a barren land and we wonder where the scene's going to end, does it not stir you up, poor soul, to seek Him more earnestly, to give Him no rest until He appears? And Samuel grew. Be a wonderful thing tonight, wouldn't it? If this is the set time that there might be a real growing. What does this growing mean? It means increase, you see. You take if a church grows, it grows because it's increased. And there are those things we need to be increased in, isn't it? We need to be increased in God's grace. We need to be increased in His love. We need to be increased in His mercy and pardon in our souls. And we read, don't we, concerning Samuel, it doesn't not just recorded concerning Samuel. In the previous chapter, where Hannah could rejoice in the Lord granting her Samuel, we read in verse 21 the closing verse, part of the verse, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And this is the vital thing, you see. Not just growing before men, but growing before the Lord. People think in this day in which we live, there are many, you know, religious people or naturally religiously minded people. They think if they do this for the Lord and that for the Lord, then they'll grow. But they never will. The growth must come from the Lord. What is it that causes a little babe to grow? It's the Lord that does it. You can, the dear mother longs for it to grow. She will feed it. She will look after it. She'll do everything for it. But God giveth the increase. He causes it to grow. And then too in the previous chapter, in verse 26, and we read, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favour both with the Lord and also with men. And now this is what the Lord has recorded concerning this dear lad. He grew. And may it be said concerning us. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, the more you grow in grace and in his love and in his favour, the more you'll know and what it is to feel you're nothing and unworthy of all his mercy. Think of what Jacob said. I love that word. I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. And the more we grow to love the Lord, the more we shall esteem him, and the more we shall know what it is to feel our foolishness, our ignorance, and our helpless state, and without him we can do nothing. Well, much could be said and upon this, but I want to go further. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him. This is a very vital thing, child of God, tonight, and may exercise each one of us that we may know the Lord is with us. Now let us look at it in a few ways. Firstly, is it your prayer? Is it my prayer? The Lord's the witness. Where we beg of him to be with us. It'll be the earnest prayer of this life in our souls that he might be with us. And you'll plead it continually. Secondly, you'll want to feel it. I think of that beautiful word in the hymn where the Lord speaks to his dear children. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. You look at in the holy word of God, how many times the Lord promised his dear children that he would be with them. We think of dear Joshua. What do we read in the 6th chapter and the closing verse? So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. The Lord was with him. It'll be seen by God's dear people, and it'll be seen by the world. You take the case of the children of Israel. When they came to the Red Sea, Pharaoh saw the Lord was with them, fighting for them, going to deliver them. He was with them when Pharaoh was pursuing them, the Lord was with them in the midst of that sea by dividing the sea and making the way for them. He was with them to bring them out of it and to destroy the enemies. You think of the case of Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You know, they weren't in it alone, were they? Maybe there are those of you that are walking through a furnace today. The furnace of affliction, the furnace of trouble, in circumstance, in providence, maybe in business. Feels like you're in the fire. They were. But they weren't in it alone, were they? That's a wonderful mercy, you know, that when we're not in it alone, the Lord was with them. You look at what the king said. Were there not three cast into the fiery furnace? Behold, there is four. One like unto the Son of Man. The dear Lord Jesus with them in it. And if he's with you in it, poor soul, he'll make all the crooked things in it straight. He'll make all the rough places plain. And he'll make a way where there seems no way. And the Lord was with him. Now this is what the Lord has recorded concerning Samuel. It wasn't what any man said. And the Lord was with him. So you want to feel it, don't you? Well, take the case of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. What do we read? They were sorrowful, they were sad. The dear Lord Jesus had been taken from them, crucified, laid in the tomb. They felt everything was gone. What did they say? We trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. But what do we read? Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. May the Lord favour us as we gather for worship continually at home, and may you hear, feel it, the Lord with you in it. Because the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And you'll know what it is to feel his sweet presence and the sweetness of it and the savour of it. I felt quite overwhelmed really after the afternoon service on Lord's Day. I did feel a sweet measure of liberty, and one of my oldest members, she said to me, she said, Pastor, there's been the sweet savour of heaven here this afternoon. You know, it quite melted me. I was thankful I didn't just feel it myself, that she felt it as well. And I didn't have to say a word to her. She just said, now I've got something to say. And you know, what a sweet savour with Christ within the doors. But you're not only in the doors, but we want to feel it in our hearts, don't we? Some of you may be so concerned tonight in your pathway and in the things that concern you, that the Lord would be with you in it. If he's with you, poor soul, all will be well. Rest assured of that. You think of the disciples when they were tossed around in the sea. in that ship. Fear in the waves. Who was with them in it? They weren't in it alone, were they? Oh no. Jesus was asleep, we read, in the hinder part of the ship. The waves didn't trouble him. It troubled the disciples. The wind troubled them. The sea troubled them. He slept. It was all in his hands. And what did he do? He arose and rebuked the wind and the waves. And there was a great calm. But he was that's the vital thing, you see. He was with them when they felt to be in jeopardy. Oh, yes. Dread no ills that may befall you when you make his ways your choice. The Lord, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. Are you pleading tonight the Lord would be with you in whatever you may be in? Lord, don't leave me to walk alone. Everything seems barren and destitute when we're alone. We think of dear Moses. You know, I love those two promises the Lord gave to the dear man. Firstly, when he was to lead the children of Israel. In that early exercise concerning the great work that was before him, Moses had been so favoured, and Joshua knew it, with the presence of the Lord with him. But you think of dear Moses. Well, dear Moses had that wonderful promise given. And I shall never forget preaching from it at Edmonton Chapel one Lord's Day evening, and a dear friend of mine at Ashwell took me, and it was this: certainly I will be with thee. And you know, the Lord assured that dear man that night the Lord would be with him in whatever was to come in his life and in his pathway. I am with thee. Certainly I will be with thee. And you think of dear Moses and leading the children of Israel. They proved it right the way through his life, that promise. Certainly I will be with thee. There'll be many things with you, with me, poor soul, if we're the children of God, they'll be uncertain. But what a mercy there are those things that are certain. And if the Lord tells you he will be with you, rest assured of this tonight. He will be with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That's what the Lord spoke to Joshua. And he spoke it earlier to Moses. But you know, the Lord wonderfully confirmed to Moses that he would be with him in chapter 33 of Exodus. And what did he say to him? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You think in following the Lord, in keeping his commandments, my presence shall go with thee. And you'll want to feel that sweet presence of the Lord under you, holding you up and holding you on. My presence shall go with thee. And then he concludes it, and I will give thee rest. And there'll be some sweet times where you can rest, poor soul, in the Lord's arms, knowing that they'll never fail you. I will never fail thee, nor forsake thee. So we read here, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him. And one's desire is, as we venture with this word to bring before you this evening, it's been with me so much throughout this day, that the Lord would sweetly whisper this to your poor heart and mine. It's a vital thing to have the presence of the Lord with us. Oh, it is. Because if he's with you, poor soul, the devil can't destroy you. The world can't destroy you. Or the opposition of man will never destroy you. Or destroy that sweet hope you have in the dear Redeemer. The sins that weigh you down, sometimes you feel you'll be crushed by them all. They'll never destroy you, because if he is with you, he has put them all away. And he can do it in a moment. I think of that word, I quoted it in prayer, what the dear prophet Isaiah was enabled to say. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And there may be those of you this evening, you got this mountain of sin that troubles you, mountain of unbelief, mountains of difficulties in your pathway, in your soul. When the Lord rends the heavens and comes down, he calls all those mountains, whether they are in providence or in grace, to flow down before him. Oh, he will. And the Lord was with him to cause these mountains to flow down. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And when he causes them to flow down, they will, and they'll flow down before you, poor soul. And you'll stand amazed at his goodness and mercy. But let's have a brief look at this latter part. It's a very interesting word, really, and very precious word, which the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning Samuel, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Wonderful word, isn't it, really? The devil may be tempting you and trying you tonight, poor soul, that all your prayers just fall to the ground. And we're often tempted that, aren't we? Why? Because we don't get the answer we think we should have, or the Lord seems silent, and we wonder whether it's all going to fall to the ground. Well, poor soul, you've got some sweet encouragement with this word, and did let none of his words. Think of the reality of it. None of his words fall to the ground. There's so many words that we may utter that just fall to the ground. And why do they fall to the ground? Because they're just us, you and me, what we have said. But what the Lord gives to his dear people to plead and wrestle with him with in prayer will never fall to the ground. You think of dear Hezekiah. He didn't count his prayers as anything, did he? He said, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. He didn't all fall to the ground, did he? Look how the Lord appeared for him and delivered him both in his soul and in all the afflictions he was in. And to delivered the Lord's dear people and put down all the hosts of the Assyrians and sent healing to the dear man of God. And he knew what it was to say, which brings us back really to the first point tonight about him growing. Samuel grew. Because he was enabled to say, by these things, what he'd had to walk through, men live, but in all these things is the life of my spirit. And they'll make you lively, poor soul, and make your prayers lively, and they won't all fall to the ground. This is a word, really, like the old preachers used to say, have you got a word you can face the devil with? Satan may be saying to you tonight, oh, but all these words that you've uttered in prayer are just going to fall to the ground. Will you take this back to the devil and tell him this? The Lord has said, and he'll let none of his words fall to the ground. And he cannot stand against that. But then not only in this apply in prayer, it applies to in those that venture to speak of what the Lord has done for them. It won't all fall to the ground. It'll be received by his dear people what the Lord has done, what he has said. And it'll be received by the Lord, and he will sweetly fulfill that beautiful promise that they that honour me, I will honour. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. But this is a beautiful word too for any God-sent servant. You know, so often the Lord's dear servants, they wonder whether they just beat the air. There have been many times when I've gone home from preaching, especially on a preaching tour or even in my own pulpit at home, and I think, now, what has been done? Has it all fallen to the ground? And a young man in my congregation of recent days, and he said to me, he said, you know, I should have told you before some of the blessings that the Lord has given me over these last few years through your ministry. He said, but I haven't said a word. But he said, I should have told you, because he said, I realise now, he said, that how discouraging it must be for a pastor particularly, or a Lord's servant, when they hear nothing. He said, so I want to tell you in love, and it really softened me, you know, how he spoke of, in various different circumstances, and the text the Lord had given me on those occasions that came right where he was. And you say, we don't know what falls to the ground. But that was, there's one thing is certain. That which is of God will never fall to the ground. Let's be very clear about it. We may utter many words, but that which is of God will never fall to the ground. You think of the dear Saviour himself, how when he spoke, the word was with power to heal the sick. The word was with power to cast the devils out. The word was with power to quicken into life those that were dead in trespasses and sin. The word was with power to remove all the sins that troubled his dear children. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And you know, when the Lord is with his dear servants and none of their words fall to the ground, the word will be clothed with power. It won't be just the minister that utters it. They're just the instruments. Mr. Gascoigne used to say, a God-sent servant is the pipes that the golden oil flows through. And that golden oil of God's word will flow through the servant of God. It's not him. It's all the Lord speaking, you say. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. So to a poor tempted sinner tonight, that all your words are going to fall to the ground, may this be a word of sweet encouragement to you. It was, no doubt, to dear Samuel. The Lord did let none of his words. He didn't say some of them, none of them. Look how comprehensive it is. His words fall to the ground. How often do we speak of what the Lord has done? To his praise, to his honour, to his glory. And when he helps us to praise him, it won't all fall to the ground, poor sir. Oh no. Is your prayer like the dear hymn writers? Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply these three things to our souls. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. The benefit is ours. The glory belongs to the Lord.
God willing, Mr. Seymour is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Chapman next Friday evening of next week. Let us close with hymn 180. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone be all our glory, all things else are dung and dross. Thee we own, a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. 180.
Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the boys. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.